Welcome back, everyone, to the final Racecast episode before the summer break. Now, I know what you're thinking, but we've got Spa next week. Are you not going to talk about that? No. If you want to find out more about our thoughts and reactions to Spa, you need to get on social media. You're going to have to head to TikTok and search Racecast Clips, or Instagram to search Racecast Insta.
Well done. Yeah, it's good.
Or Twitter for Racecast Tweets. The reason being is I am going away. I'm going to be out of the country for the next 2.5 weeks. Matt is actually going to Spa. Not that, that impacts our ability to record, I don't think, had I have been in the country. So I take full responsibility.
Yeah, realistically, if I was in the country, it wouldn't have made a difference because you're not here.
Yeah. And then we've got the summer break. Spa is, correct me if I'm wrong, the last race.
It's the last race before the summer.
So we won't be back until the end of August or just after August.
Yeah, pretty much, because you're away for 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, we'll come back obviously the week before the summer break, because I'm sure there is lots that will happen. I think we're all aware of potential driver swaps that we're going to see, people losing their jobs, people getting promotions, people entering the sport for the first time officially. Yeah. That's what the rumors are suggesting. So, yeah, do make sure you stay up to date. If you are listening to us, well, you are listening to us, wherever you are listening to us, do give us a 5-star rating because it really does make a difference. And we want to climb those charts in random countries because that means quite a lot to us. You know, forget about number one in the UK. We want to be number one in Zanzibar. So
I'll take that.
If you're listening there, give us 5-star rating and make sure you play us on loop. You can have some mute. That's fine. But anyway, there is a lot to talk about because it was an action-packed weekend at Budapest. So this is my cue to stop.
Yeah, and just touching back, obviously, I go to Spa on Thursday. Well, driving on Thursday, get there in ready for FP1 and 2 on Friday.
Wait, so you get there on Friday? It takes that long to drive?
No, I get there on Thursday. Oh, okay. And then on, obviously, everything starts.
How long is your journey there, end to end?
6 hours, I believe.
Wow.
So I have to go to Dover, get a ferry over, and then drive, I think it's like 4 hours or something afterwards.
That is the same amount of time that it's going to take me to drive from Toronto to Montreal after my 7-hour flight.
Mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yours, I'm actually looking forward to it. I've never driven abroad before.
Oh, you got to drive on the other side of the road.
Right hand side, apparently.
Not apparently, it's
factually. You know, yeah.
Don't go there thinking it's just a nasty room, man. It is true.
Mate, you never told me I have to drive on this side of the road. But do you know what? One thing I'm really looking forward to this weekend is I've been watching a lot of F2 recently. And yep. I know we've got it on in the background. And
F2 has been exciting.
It has been good. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing that. And I've been looking at the schedule for the weekend. You've got obviously F3, F2, F1. You've got some Porsche Cup.
Do you know what? When I went to Silverstone, I loved the Porsches.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on, which I'm really looking forward to. Obviously, this is my first... I've been to Silverstone in the past. But this is my first proper race experience outside of the UK. And I know some of you people have asked me before, it's like, how can you be an F1 fan and not go to loads of other races? The thing is, for me, I've always just enjoyed watching it on TV because...
Do you know what? Aside from that, it's such a fucking annoying thing to say. Firstly, right, because it costs loads of money, dumbass. Secondly, because people have lives. Like, it's not easy to just nip across to Italy for the weekend. There's a lot of planning and money that goes into it. You know, you've got to book time off work. Well, what if you've got other commitments? It's when people say, like, oh, you're not a proper fan if you don't go to the stadium or watch the boys week in, week out. It's like, yes, you are. Like, you absolutely are. It's not about whether you turn up physically every week. If you're sitting there watching them behind a screen, dedicating your time to these individuals, this sport, you're a proper fan.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
No, but, I mean, F2, really looking forward to seeing. And obviously, Antonelli had a very good win this weekend.
He had a very impressive weekend.
And for me, I feel like I'm going to Spa and I'm going to be watching the new Mercedes driver for 2025. That's what it looks like.
Wow, controversial. I'm thinking at this point, it could be Max Verstappen.
very true. Could well be.
We know that Toto Wolff has been flirting with that boy like an 11-year-old at a school disco. I mean like when you're 11 at a school disco and you flirt. Toto wasn't flirting with an 11-year-old. It's not an accusation. And after Max Verstappen's meltdown, episode, I don't know what you want to call it, hissy fit, another one, this weekend, it seems like something is actually really going on at Red Bull. And if you don't think this is digressing too much, I actually not read something, but watched something very interesting on the Red Bulls, right? So for those of you that aren't actually F1 fans and didn't watch the race this weekend,
firstly, why you listen to the podcast?
Yeah.
Well, it's great. Welcome along.
You're in the wrong place. But no, even if you watched the highlights, you would have seen that Max Verstappen was a tremendously unhappy boy throughout. He wasn't too bad across the weekend, but on the race, he was
on a different...
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Max in some bad moods before, but I don't think I remember ever seeing him as bad as he was this weekend.
I've never seen it get to a point where GP, his race engineer, actually bites back at him.
Yeah, it was kind of
To a point of kind of like, they were just like, shut up now.
They were like arguing over the radio. It was a bit weird. I guess at face value, the reason is because the car wasn't quick. Find it a little bit ironic. I think it shows character, right? Max Verstappen has had the fastest car by a long way for the last 2 years, and even the first half of this season.
Yeah.
First half that we've had so far. And this is how he acts on the radio. You look at Lewis Hamilton, who had the most dominant car for, 8 years?
Yeah.
7 if you assume they were on par with Red Bull in that final season.
Whoa, don't tell Lando Norris that, okay? Because...
I mean, he's finding out the hard way that you also need to be the best driver.
Yeah.
But in 2022, you saw frustrations from Lewis, right? At no point did you ever see him speak to the team like that.
No.
You haven't seen Charles speak to the team like that as they seem to progressively take backward steps every time they do something to their car. Max has these like pretty awful tendencies to come on and just be an absolute knob on the radio to a team that have given him 3 world championships.
And I've got an interesting fact. So I was speaking to a couple of Dutch
people.
I was going to say fans, but no.
They're still people, just because they're not English.
No, Dutch people. And we were talking about Max Verstappen, and it was actually after Silverstone. And they said they were delighted for Lewis Hamilton. They can't stand Max Verstappen. There's parts of the country who literally, apparently, again, this is just what they were saying, who just can't stand him because of his outbursts, his whining, his attitude and how rude he is. Yep. And I was actually quite surprised by that, because obviously on TV you see, the Orange Army follow him all over. But it was really interesting to hear that actually it wasn't just like a couple. It was like they were actually, he's quite disliked at times.
I mean, it does make someone very dislikable. Now,
that's a speculation before.
We've credited Max a lot. And I think at some parts the last 3 years, we've even said we've warmed to certain parts of him, certain aspects of him. Now, what we can safely say after this weekend is when the chips are down, he is a cunt. And when it comes to racing wheel to wheel, he is still incredibly inept. I don't care what anyone says, right? He is low-key one of the worst wheel to wheel racers on the grid. Now, don't get that confused with me saying that Max Verstappen is slow. Max Verstappen is the fastest man on the grid, right? As an individual at this point in time, I believe he is the quickest man on the grid. That's coming from a Lewis Hamilton fan. Sticking wheel to wheel with someone, oh my God, he cannot race, right? We saw it with Lando at Austria, where he was he was driving really erratically.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I don't think Lando was particularly the easiest person to race there. There was some silly dive bombs, but Max claiming that he wasn't moving under braking and stuff. Yeah, right. Everyone's got eyes. Okay. Put him up against Lewis Hamilton and his ability to race wheel to wheel drops even more severely, right? Now, he was unhappy that Lewis didn't leave him a car's width.
Yeah.
Let's just run this back to... Well, I mean, where do you want to go? We could go to Imola 2021, where he definitely did not leave Lewis car's width and he went off, hit those bumps, etc. We could go to Saudi Arabia, where he attempted to commit murder. How about
Brazil?
Brazil. You know, did he leave a car's width there?
Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi.
Going
yeah.
to whatever turn that was, five, whatever, six.
You know, so it's incredibly interesting. And then we get the sort of cherry on the cake comment of he moved under braking, which everyone saw. Lewis turned in to the corner. I saw some still images of people saying Lewis turned while Max was locking up. Yeah, that's very easy when the image isn't moving.
Yeah.
When and these cars are doing well over 100 miles an hour into a corner.
He was
that,
just...
That would be like that.
Yeah.
Max was on one, right? Max was
Max
proper
dive-bombed
up.
Down into that. He broke late.
He was never, ever, ever making that corner, no. right? And... He paid the price for it. His temperament really let him down this weekend. And and it's something that we've all said over the last couple of years of, wow, hasn't Max Verstappen really chilled out? And actually, I think we're seeing, no, he just didn't have anyone to race.
He's exactly the same as he was in 21. He's just now not got the best car on the grid.
Exactly.
And what's really interesting is, look, a lot of people disliked Lewis Hamilton when he was dominating and all of that stuff. One thing you cannot take away during this period, it's what you touched on earlier, is his class, his ability to still remain calm in difficult situations. And we saw that right from 21, Abu Dhabi 21, where how composed he was and how professional he acted. Even after, you know, this weekend with that collision with Max Verstappen, have you seen the video of them when they're in the pen, when he goes up and just shakes hand with Max and said, oh, we'll discuss later. He was still so professional about it. He even said in his, you know, going back to what I said about McLaren's, his speech afterwards when he, on the, you know, at the end of the race, are, you know, really good to see from McLaren. And even to have that conversation with Lando in the warm, I was disappointed in Lando in the sense of, Lando also let himself down this weekend.
Lando is another discussion.
We'll get on that in a second. I have really warmed to Max Verstappen because I just found it hilarious this weekend. It just made me laugh because we've discussed on here many times. Actually, oh yeah, okay. Like you said, Max has matured. He showed exactly, and I think I really loved it this weekend, seeing the Max-Lewis battle. Because I honestly don't think there's anyone on that grid who triggers Max Verstappen as much as Lewis Hamilton.
Lewis absolutely rattles him. And I mean, I sat here and watched it with Glenn. And we were both just like, man, there is nothing compares to Max and Lewis going head to head. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care if you're a Lando Norris fan or a Logan Sargeant fan. Nothing compares watching these two go head-to-head, even if it's in, you know, what was it, P4 and P3. Yeah. It was so exciting
but
to watch.
But can we also say Lewis Hamilton schooled him this weekend?
Yeah.
He, you know, Max Verstappen was in the faster car out of them two.
Yeah.
And he still managed to keep him behind, frustrate him, hold him into the corners. That pit, that straight, Max Verstappen should have easily got past
that,
him.
That DRS on the Red Bull is like an absolute cheat code.
Yeah.
But I'm going to draw it back to my original point. There was some Spanish commentary on the race.
Yep.
And essentially what was said was the one of the commentators had it on good authority. He had heard from two teams that a few weeks back, Red Bull basically got pulled by the FIA for an illegal part on their car.
Interesting.
And it's ever since then that they've been suffering.
Very interesting.
This is pure speculation, nothing confirmed, but we do like to spread the nasty rumours. So, this is what was said. Now, you piece it together. I guess to some extent, it makes sense. Well, I mean, we know factually over the last 3-4 years, Red Bull are the only team to cheat.
Yeah.
Incredibly likely that that would happen. The car has got significantly... The car, in my opinion, has got... I don't think it's necessarily just been outdeveloped.
Mm.
It kind of doesn't look as good to drive.
No.
You know, they've been bringing upgrades. They've not seemed to
be... Don't seem to be working, do they?
You know, this week was the most significant Red Bull upgrade package that we've seen all season.
Was it something like 6 upgrades or something? There was...
Yeah, and you saw that they were running a track-specific engine cover on Max Verstappen's car, which is really interesting. But they were still finished behind Mercedes. Mm.
But so that Lewis did great to keep him off. Realistically, there's many times when I was kind of like, oh, Max has got him now. Max has got him.
No, Lewis drove like a champ. Mm. And, you know, Max Verstappen, had he have not lost his head and just absolutely sent it into turn one, it's very likely that he could have got Lewis in a few laps time.
Just finishing on Max, I mean, yeah, okay, I'm not massively surprised on how he acted this weekend. I think this is classic Max.
I think everyone was just sorely reminded of what he is truly like.
Telling fans and people to F off in his interview.
F off. What does F mean?
Flip off.
He told him, oh, that's all right, that's PG.
Yeah.
That's not so bad.
It was PG because, yeah.
I think he said fuck off.
He did,
didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's the one. Oh, sorry, that's the one I got confused with. It's just a bit mad. But, look, Max Verstappen likes to play the villain, you know. This is him. This is how he runs. One thing I want to go back to, because we started off this conversation talking about Antonelli in the Mercedes seat. Yes, okay, Max Verstappen is linked with it. But I want to ask you this question, and you may think this is a stupid question. If you're Toto Wolff, right?
Yes, I take Max Verstappen.
Even with his temperament and his attitude. Okay, answer me this then. Why? Because how does that... that's a silly question. I know why, because he's a... But if you're trying to build a team where you've got someone like George Russell, if you're Max Verstappen, okay, you're going to be the number one driver. There's no way you're going to go to that team and go, I want to be a equal driver with George Russell. No way. You're going to be the one, you're going to want to be the number one driver. That is going to cause such a turbulence within that team. And
okay, so wouldn't you just get rid of George Russell?
But do you think Toto would want to do that?
I mean, I'd rather Max than George.
Oh, 100%.
You know, like, and I prefer George. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, I would support George over Max.
Yeah.
Hands down. If I'm in charge of the team, yeah, I'm taking Max Verstappen all day long.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. Obviously, I can't see George going anywhere. So this is where my question is coming from. Because George Russell will challenge Max.
Yeah.
He won't, don't get me wrong, I don't think he'll beat him all the time, but he will challenge Max. He's not there just to be the second fiddle.
Well, maybe it's time for Max to prove that he can do it up against a good teammate.
Yeah, but if you're Max Verstappen, you've worked in a... Red Bull is their own failure. Yes, they've had success, but they've built their whole team around one person. And eventually, if he goes, what have Red Bull got to show?
They've got Danny Ric.
True. And Perez. Oh, fair play, yeah.
Completely two very experienced drivers.
Sorry, I'm so stupid.
I think they've got about Oh, it's got to be about 10 wins between.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is, I agree, Max Verstappen, you take him all day long.
No, I get your point.
But is it the logic? Is it the?
Yes, it is the logical decision. I think we're looking at this a little bit too deep. We're assuming that Max wouldn't want to go up against someone, but you know, in F1, you have to do what is best for your career. Max is not going to look at George and think, I can't win there. You know, I don't think any F1 driver would look at that. You know, I mean, you look at Bottas, he came to Mercedes, presumably with the mentality of, I can do this, I can win a world championship. You know, it didn't happen for obvious reasons. But Max is going to, if he believes, truly believes that Mercedes are going to have a better car, better development, a stronger long-term plan for him, he's going to go there. If Mercedes have any sense, they're going to want the best drivers. If there's something that we know about Mercedes, it's that they don't shy away from having two very good drivers.
No, they don't.
In that seat. You know, we've seen Nico Rosberg and Michael Schumacher. We then saw Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton. Okay, you might laugh at Bottas now.
But at the time, Bottas was
a very strong, you know, consistent driver for Williams.
Yeah.
Get him in. And then Bottas goes, and you get the young, up-and-coming George Russell, who had proved to be really strong at Williams in what was an awful car. So, you know, alongside Lewis Hamilton, they're not afraid to have these partnerships. And I think that's probably what has... That's contributed to their success, I think.
Completely agree. My only thing is, Max Verstappen, during his whole career, has never had a teammate who goes head-to-head with him. Danny Ric bailed out because he got too scared. He was like, oh, I can't go up against him. Okay. Yeah. Albon's been there. We'll see what happened with him. Who else has been there? Gasly's been there. Look what happened to him. You know, Perez went there. He was always going to be the number two, and that's exactly what it is. Max Verstappen... I completely agree with the Mercedes side. They've had drivers in there who've done that. What I worry about is Max Verstappen hasn't ever been in a team where he's had to worry about his teammate because he's always been put first.
I think also at the same time, he's always been at a team that are absolute wet pieces for him.
But this is what I mean.
Horner comes over the radio and is just like absolutely like smothering him in kisses and compliments. Whereas, and you know, they give him everything, they pander to him. I don't think Mercedes are like that.
But that's exactly why I think Max is like he is.
Yeah, no, that's exactly why he's like he is.
You know,
but
Red Bull have created this monster because they've given Max everything he... Don't get me wrong, Max has given them success back, granted. But they've made him into this character that actually... You can have whatever you want. You're first. Doesn't matter anywhere else in the team. You're number one.
Yeah, and I think that will change when he goes to Mercedes, or if he goes to Mercedes, in that it's not necessarily, oh, you're our star boy. It will be common knowledge that he is the number one. Very much how it's common knowledge that Lewis is the number one.
Mm.
You know, but... Do I think it's necessarily a good move? I'm not sure. I mean, with the current regulations, Red Bull have proven to be a lot more successful, a lot more reliable. They're obviously losing Adrian Newey, which is a massive loss. There's obviously the internal war that is surely still going on. I mean, isn't his dad still banned from...
Oh, no, he was there.
But there's like beef between him and Christian.
It seems like there's beef.
So maybe he's just had enough.
No, I get that. For me, he's gonna really struggle because... And well, not struggle, I don't mean by that, but he won't be winning week in, week out because I still think the Red Bull is a stronger car. And he's going to be properly challenged by George because George isn't going to hold back.
It will be the most that he's ever been challenged by a teammate in his career.
And I think he will struggle with that because he's so used. and the reason why he's exactly like he is because he has been given everything he wants.
Yeah.
He has. And the reason why he acts like a petulant child is because anyone else, comes over that radio and speaks to the team and slags the team off. Okay, this is a team who's dominated for years, and he's coming over the radio basically saying, "What is this shit box? Yeah. Don't give me this strategy. I'm actually making up before what you've fucked up." That if you come over the radio, you're not just saying that to your engineers, you're saying that to the whole team. So if you're a Red Bull team and you're going, all that hard work and all the success we've given you, and you come out publicly over the radio and slate us, you know, he's...
No, I mean...
They've created their own monster here.
He's a dick. I mean, there's no, like, two ways about it, but at the end of the day, this sport is about winning.
100%.
You know, I know there's a big team element and there's got to be harmony, but you need to win. And he's a winner.
Okay. Well, that's a good segue then onto this. Let's talk about Lando Norris this weekend and Oscar Piastri.
He's a loser.
Yeah, okay. So, obviously, firstly, delighted for Oscar Piastri. I do love the fact that in his second season, I told you Piastri would win this year, didn't I? That was one of the things, the predictions at the beginning of the year. I was confident Piastri would have a win this year.
I believe you actually said... You think Piastri will win a race before Lando Norris?
Okay. I mean, I'll be honest. Granted, incorrect, but I'm not far off.
Well,
four races off.
An inch is as good as a mile.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Piastri's won his race in his first 18 months of his career. Lando Norris took 100 or so races to win his first race.
Now, here's the Lando agenda again.
Not Lando agenda.
No. You've got to add some context to that. This is the first time in Lando's whole career.
2021, he had two opportunities to win races. Let's not give you that.
But this is the first time in Lando's career that he's had a car that is capable of winning races.
Okay, so the last five races, how many has he won? If he should have won every race, realistically, how many has he won?
No, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, granted, there's no agenda. And actually, to prove there's no agenda, I was actually disappointed this weekend in Lando. Because I was expecting Lando to come into this villain era. The likes we've seen with Max Verstappen, Michael Schumacher over the years, okay? I was expecting him to come out and go...
Seb,
yeah. Multi-21, whatever. I was actually rooting for him to go, do you know what? No. I want to be a champion. I'm going to take this win. I'm going to show you. Part of me was hoping he would actually go on and do that. Because I wanted to see, that is a difference from champions.
Is it though?
100%. You have to be selfish. There's parts that Lewis has done that in the past. He hasn't had to do it by holding someone back. He's always been a good team player, but he's obviously had those wins. Max Verstappen would never have given that place back. Michael Schumacher in the past hasn't given those places
back.
But
Lewis... I know this wasn't for first place, but what about when Lewis gave the position back to Bottas in Hungary?
Yeah. I mean, but he was still pretty good in the title. He was leading the title race.
He wasn't leading it at that point. I'm pretty sure Seb was.
I don't know. But anyway, yeah, no, I get your... Okay.
I get your point. But I do think it's what separates the men from boys. There is a certain level of integrity that I think you've got to hold yourself to.
Yeah.
Right? Firstly, this whole issue was caused by McLaren.
Yeah.
There was absolutely no need to bring Lando in to cover off Lewis.
Do you know, I actually think if they kept it the way that Piastri coming in first and all of that stuff, if they'd done it early enough, I actually do think Lando would have been quicker.
Lando could have actually overtaken him and just won.
Yeah.
There was no reason whatsoever for them to try and cover the undercut.
No.
It was not going to happen. And if it was going to happen, there was still a lot of time to just bring Oscar in first. They made that decision, brought Lando in first, knowing it was going to cause complications, right? Because then they didn't even bring Oscar in the lap after.
No, kept him two laps
after. Right, well, that's created a bigger gap now, hasn't it?
Well, you knew the undercut was so strong. Yeah.
So now it's even more difficult. So obviously, the way they handled it over the radio, in my opinion, was a bit weak and a bit cringy.
But we said this before in their decision-making.
Yeah.
It is poor.
It was very like, oh, please, Lando, please do it. Like, tell him. He drives for you. Mm. Tell him.
But Nico Rosberg was spot on. Did you hear his interview with Andrea Stella?
No.
He said, can I give you some advice? And this was like, you know, there's Nico Rosberg.
By the way, just dropping it in there, Nico Rosberg is by a hundredfold the best pundit F1 has ever seen.
Yeah, no, I agree. I tell you who I do actually really like, Naomi Schiff.
She's been
really good. She's really good. But going back to
Nico Rosberg wipes the floor with everybody.
Yeah, he's superb. So he, post-race, they were talking to Andrea Stella, and he said, can I give you some advice? And Andrea Stella was like, yeah. He said, your radio messages, what you should have done was just said, this is what you've got to do. Do it now. He said, it sounded like you just gave him too many options. Oh, would you be able to shortly come up and, you know, give the place back? Would you be able to do this? No, do it. He said, you've got to be stricter with it. And he said, that's what happened when I was with Mercedes. He said, you've got to be firm. You just got to say it how it is. Give the place back now. You know, none of this whole like, within the next lap or so, could you mind?
So
you know,
soft, like them sitting there twirling their head. Just like, oh, by the way, Lando, you don't mind if I thought
Nico was spot on with that. I do also think that Lando screwed himself over as well, because what he should have done, given that place back right from the beginning, he would have overtaken him.
Yeah, although mind you, I think it could have become a little bit awkward with Hamilton right at the start.
Hamilton wasn't in that mix.
No,
I know they pitted him.
Oscar was 3 seconds ahead of Lewis, I believe, at this point.
Yeah.
And then Lando was like three and a half ahead of Lewis. Ahead of Oscar. So it could have got a little bit awkward. I agree. Lewis was never in for the win, right?
He wasn't in the mix. It was between Oscar and Lando. And they, I think...
But again, the whole thing was caused by McLaren. They didn't need to do it in the first place.
No. And this is what... I did a TikTok and Insta about this after the race. I feel sorry for Oscar because he had a great start, great overtaking to turn one. He deserved a win. However, because of the decision making by McLaren, because of the petulance from Lando, because he could have just given that place back from the beginning and just said give it back, and do you know what I mean, he kept going over the radio, well, tell him to hurry up, tell him, you know, all of that type of stuff. I feel like this win was a bit tarnished for him.
No, because 100% it was. I mean, you can, like, I know Oscar's a pretty like relaxed, chilled out guy anyway, but even like his celebration,
but
I used the term loosely on the radio after the race, was a bit like underwhelming.
Because I think he knew that actually, when your teammate has to stop and let you pass to go on and get a win.
Yeah, but
I
get that, but like, that was never Lando's position.
No.
You know,
however,
Oscar should have been given the priority. He should have been brought in first. Mm. Fuck the undercut. That was never, ever on. Yeah. Lewis was never, ever going to be in the mix there. How come I can sit here and see that? Yeah, you've got...
analysts. Even people like, back in Woking.
You know, professional geniuses looking at him and being like, we're in trouble from Lewis here. We might have to bring Lando in first and cause ourselves like a fuck-off headache.
You knew exactly what they were trying to do.
I thought they're just trying to give the win to Lando.
Yeah.
And then when they came on the radio, like, right, you know what to do, Lando, like, give the position back. I was like, what? I don't understand. Why have you brought this upon yourselves? It's like kids in glass houses. Is that a saying?
It is a saying.
You know, the whole thing was just avoidable. I don't understand it. Lando dealt with it bad, but look, props to him. He gave the position back in the end. It must have been difficult. We do have to look at this from Lando's point of view, right? He is genuinely in this title race now.
Yeah.
Because if Max is going to consistently finish out of podiums, you know, he got very lucky at Silverstone.
Yeah.
Red Bull, which is funny, Red Bull got him that P2.
Yeah.
At Silverstone. That was all strategy. You know, he drove flawlessly like he normally does, but...
You say that though. It was Max who's told him to come in on to get onto the softs, onto the hards. It was Max who told the team that actually pit me now.
Yeah, but sometimes you rely on the driver.
Yeah.
The whole strategy, the teamwork was on point, right? Yeah. But if he does start to consistently finish out of the podium, I think we're all fairly confident now that the McLaren is now the dominant car.
Yeah, 100%.
That might change over the course of the season. But at this point in time, if you're Lando Norris, you're thinking, well, I can go on and win every race. Absolutely, I can. He should have won Silverstone.
Mm.
He should have won Austria.
Yeah.
He should have won here in Hungary.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I read something on Twitter. Lando has had 7 poles in his career, and he's not led the, like, after the first lap of any of them.
His starts are...
There's something wrong with him.
Yeah.
He's cursed, I think. But
can I just finish off what we were talking about? And I posted this in our group chat the other day. Somebody posted on this Facebook group. He said, what I love about this debate is how much it shows us how seriously stupid people and F1 teams are. Okay. This comes down to basic math. Constructor points are identical regardless of the order.
Mm-hmm.
The team chose to take 7 points off Lando on the altar or what. He was faster than Piastri. He needs a point for a title push. Math doesn't align with the decision at all, and it's a false victory for Piastri. Great to watch, but could end up costing Lando the title come the end of the season. Absolutely moronic decision and indefensible, as you cannot argue the numbers, and the numbers determine winners.
So this is a fair point to some extent, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't Lando's position. It wasn't Lando's win.
No.
That position was given to him on the basis that the team stupidly thought that they were under threat from Lewis and the undercut.
Mm.
Now, at the end of the day, the team would obviously love to win a World Drivers' Championship, but it shouldn't be their prerogative to take that victory away from Oscar for something that they did to cover Lando.
Yeah.
So, do I think the whole situation is moronic? Absolutely. Do I think them making Lando give the position back is moronic? No. Do I understand the point of he's going for a championship? Of course. But he should have never been there in the first place. If they were making him swap position when he was rightfully in front, well then, yeah, that's dumb. You know, it never happened, but I think this whole thing was avoidable.
Yeah.
And it makes them look stupid because it's now 2 weeks in a row that they've done something stupid. And now we're here sort of debating it, and we're also now thinking, oh, has that affected Lando's ability in the title, you know, to win it? Well, actually, no, he's affected his title hopes.
He's put himself in these positions.
He demanded the same tire as Lewis at Silverstone. He was the one that
decided to have a collision with Max in Austria.
Yeah, okay. You know, that one was out of his control, in my opinion. But he was the person that didn't get off the line very well.
Yeah.
This weekend, you know, all these things add up. They're his fault. No, it's not the team's fault. If he misses out by 7 points, right, on the championship, that's down to him at Silverstone. It's not down to this, because it was never his to win anyway.
I think when you also, just going back to what we said on the start, do you think it was fair for Max Verstappen to give the position back to Lando after turn one? Because I'm in two minds with this.
I think it's harsh. It was... All I'll say is, as a turn one, lap one incident, I think it is a little harsh. However, Max was able to carry a lot more speed through there as a result of that. And he wasn't, I don't necessarily think he was squeezed out wide. I think he tactically ran.
I think he tried to avoid, didn't he? I think he was avoid because Lando was pretty much going, he was right on the edge of the track. So Max had nowhere else to go.
Yeah, but Lando was ahead.
Yeah, I mean,
when
you're looking from an aerial view, they're literally all side by side, basically. He is ahead, I agree with you. But from it, I don't know where Max can really go. I think he'd made the right choice.
Well, he could come off the accelerator.
Yeah, but then you've got cars right behind you. So you come off the accelerator, you've got other cars who are going in the back of you.
Lift a little and...
Whenever we know Max to lift.
No, and that's my point. Like, Max would never yield. So, yeah, I do think it's a little harsh. I still get it.
Mm.
I think if it had gone either way, I don't think I would have... If he hadn't have been told to give the position back, I don't think I would have kicked up a fuss.
No. Let's talk about the incident with Lewis Hamilton. I have two.
No penalty is just...
I have two opinions on this, okay? So obviously the discussion was it was a racing incident. That's what Lewis came out. And fair play to him. He's like, oh, it's just some sort of racing incident. It wasn't a racing incident. From the FIA, again, allowed him to get away with it. If you take all into consideration Max's rants leading up to that point, mm-hmm. his frustration, that was not a tactical move or trying to whatever. That was literally, I am pissed off. I am just going to go for this move and getting past him.
Yeah, and he had no control over the car.
No.
He just came flying into that corner. So... I don't think it was a racing incident. I think Max had no control over the car because he had come flying in too fast because he was so frustrated and wound up with the team. That could have ruined his race. I mean, it did to some extent.
He didn't have further damage. That car flew.
Yeah. And it could have ruined... It could have taken Lewis out of the race.
Yeah.
And then did you see the FIA report? Car 44 could have done more to avoid the collision.
Of course.
So, I mean, to the FIA, fuck you.
They're so poor, aren't they?
But they're shocking.
But on a whole, let's quickly touch on Perez. Obviously, he had a very tough Saturday. Binned his car again.
But a good drive in the race.
I actually think he did well. Considering the strategy he was put on, he's put on the hard, same as George, to still come away with a P7 in quite a difficult race, I actually think it was all right. Considering Max finished P5. I don't think you could have probably asked more from Sergio Perez, considering how bad his Saturday was. But...
Yeah, no, but Perez did everything he could. Can't fault him. On race day,
no,
absolutely can fault him on quali, and he's still got to go.
There's no going back from this.
He could win Spa by two laps.
Yeah,
he's still got to go.
Yuki Tsunoda again picking up points for the RB.
Yeah,
solid. Obviously, he had a very difficult Saturday. Well, they say a difficult Saturday. He had, it was P10, wasn't he, in qualifying after that incident?
Yeah.
And again. Daniel Ricciardo, no points this weekend.
Yep.
I say again, I know he picked up points last race, but he... Tsunoda's just...
He's chipping away.
He's just chipping away.
You know, I think... I actually saw a quote from Tsunoda saying it would be really weird if they picked Lawson for that Red Bull seat. And I agree.
Mm.
It would be. It would be really weird. What's he done that Tsunoda hasn't?
Yeah.
Tsunoda's done way more than Lawson.
I put out a tweet. We put out a TikTok about Tsunoda. A lot of people were like, well, he won't go to Red Bull because Honda with the RB. Honda.
Yeah, but
so they're saying he won't. That's why he won't leave RB.
I'm confused. Let me get it up. Surely the RB's just got the Red Bull powertrain.
Let me get it up.
Engine.
Let me.
But at the end of the day, how is that a thing? Yuki would absolutely go to Red Bull.
Okay. One thing, do people not understand? Danny is clearly just setting quicker times in the Red Bull sim. You lot are not too bright. As the biggest Danny Rick, he's washed. His time is over. Lawson deserves a seat. Danny Rick comes back with wins the World Championship next season and the next seven seasons after, and he becomes the all-time GOAT. Watch this space. I would put my house on that. If Yuki goes to RB, Red Bull, it'll be the end of his career. Max will end him. Danny is the only one that will be able to cope with the stress.
What? No. No, that's just because Danny Rick is at the end of his career. Mm. It's not that he'll be able to cope with the stress, it's just that his career is already over.
This is interesting. Yuki's a Honda driver. He's gone after 2025, so Red Bull don't see him as a long-term project prospect.
Oh, what? As it, okay, I get that. He was brought in because of the Honda partnership. Yeah. Well, that might be true, but I actually think Yuki's developed into a pretty decent driver. We had our criticisms about him a good few seasons ago, but I actually think he has developed into a pretty nifty driver.
Yeah. After this week's race just gone, Yuki will never be at Red Bull. He argued on the radio about pit stops. He's not a team player. Oh, yeah.
oh, my God. Who the hell is that idiot?
Scott Seven-Figure Surfer Smith.
You, my friend, are a dumbass. That is the most stupid comment I've ever heard in my life.
Do people not understand? Danny is clearly just setting quicker times in the Red Bull sim. What difference does that make?
Yeah, like, he's not performing on track. If... it means nothing. That's like me saying, well, I set quicker lap times on F1 on the game.
Yeah, but then I'm a better go-karter racer.
Yeah, we know that's not true.
Mate, I've beat you.
It just means nothing. Like, so you're telling me that Danny Rick is setting quick... oh, but it's a different car. Oh, fuck off. Look, Yuki Tsunoda is beating him in a worse car every single week.
Yep.
You know, with a few minor exceptions.
Yep.
That is living proof that Yuki Tsunoda is a better choice.
Yep. I think, regardless of whether Yuki's a Honda driver, whatever, he has really matured into a really good driver. Yep. I always, you know, yes, he might get heat in the car, but I think that's just how he comes across, and he's just passionate, he wants to get it across.
And it's not like Red Bull aren't used to that.
No. That's what they deal with all the time.
They've got the most fiery driver on the grid.
Mm. Yeah. All round standouts for this weekend. Obviously, Lewis getting that P3. I thought it was very solid. As I said, Tsunoda. Ferraris did all right. P4, P5. They got the most out of it, I think. I don't think they could have done much more with that.
Yeah, Ferrari is still in a strange spot, really. They kind of got that thing where, you know, they still look really quick over one lap.
Yeah.
And then race pace... you know, they're the slowest of the fastest.
Yeah.
They're not the best of the rest. They're still in that pack of the fastest, but they are, at this point, the slowest, which is so weird because Charles Leclerc... I mean... I assume is technically still on for a title.
Well, he's what, P3 in the championship, I think?
Yeah, like he...
in theory, yes, he is.
He could still win the championship. He's just over 100 points behind Max Verstappen.
I know we've got IndyCar on here, just while we're obviously doing the podcast. They're rapid. 85 laps.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, GP of Toronto.
Grosjean, there he is, P6.
If this was next week, I could have watched it.
It's not, it's been.
Well, no, I know. Yeah, Ferrari, strange spot. You know, I don't know how they, every season.
Tail off.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. I just don't know how they haven't learned yet. But anyway, we move.
Anything else from this weekend?
Generally, another really good weekend. I think all we need to say to really round off is, for me, the excitement of F1 is back.
Yeah, 100%.
Every weekend is...
Let me ask you this then.
You know, we've had 7 different winners this season.
We have had 7 different winners. This weekend, was it good because of the drama? Take away the drama, because I read something about this, because somebody said, oh, that's a great weekend. And somebody said, is it good because of the drama that was happened? Take away the drama and normally, would it have been a boring race?
Yeah, what sort of question is that?
Well, no, that's what I was...
But I mean, that's such a stupid thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I did get me thinking. I was like, well, if nothing of that happened and it was
just... So you're watching a football game and it's like 5-4 and someone's like, yeah, but take away the goals. Was it a good game?
No, when I say the drama, the actual radio, the radio stuff.
But the drama's part of it. That's all part of the all sport, right. Isn't it?
If I'm going to a race this weekend, which I am going to Spa this weekend, and I don't hear any of the radios, and yeah. I'm just watching that happen... I'm not going to go away from that going, oh, that was a freaking amazing race, wasn't it? Because I've missed it. I haven't heard any of the radio stuff.
Yeah, I get your point. That is kind of a different kettle of fish, though.
But this is what he's.
I mean, we had Max versus Lewis.
Yep.
That was really interesting.
Yep.
We had Lewis racing the Ferraris.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're clutching at straws here. You had Lando going from P1 to P3.
Yeah, quarter. You had all that action.
We've improved this year, though. Obviously, Lewis pole last year went down to P4. Lando only went down to P3.
Yeah, that's true. Look, if you're at the race, it's a different environment, right? It's a different experience. We have to take it from the general stance that everyone is watching on TV, because 99% of people will be watching it on TV, and it was an exciting race. You know, F1 isn't always about the race on track. Sometimes it's about everything that is going on
around it.
Yeah. So
no, I agree.
Was it a good weekend? Was it a great race? Yeah, it was.
No, I enjoyed this weekend. Again, this is me just picking stuff off social media and seeing, getting a response. But I thought it was a good weekend.
Look, I mean, now you've probably got the complaint of, well, now we've still just got a dominant car in the McLaren, but I don't believe it will dominate like that Red Bull did last season, you know. That car is no different to the car at Silverstone.
No.
And Lando Norris wasn't able to close up on Lewis Hamilton.
But do you know why I don't think it'd be as dominant?
Because they haven't got Max driving it.
Or Lewis.
Yeah. And that might be true.
It's for me, the reason why these cars have been so dominant is because of the championship winning drivers.
Yeah, but I think if you put Lando in the RB19 last year, he wins the championship comfortably.
Yeah. But again,
that car was a different breed of dominant.
But again, we have said this already in this podcast. The last 5-6 races, Lando Norris has been in the best car, and he should have been winning these
and
races.
And I agree, but what we can't do is just take the phrase best car at face value.
No.
If his car is, let's say, in percentage terms, 1% better than the other cars, well, the RB19 was not just 1% better than the other cars. It was significantly better. Yeah. So I get your point. But Lando would have won the championship comfortably last season in the RB19.
Yeah.
In my opinion, Oscar Piastri would have. George Russell would have.
Logan Sargeant.
No. There are a good handful of drivers. They wouldn't have necessarily won it as dominantly as Max did.
No.
But they would have won the championship. So this McLaren is not dominant in the sense where it's like, it's just gone, vanished into the distance.
Yeah.
So that's why I think you know, Spa's going to be an interesting one. My money would be on McLaren.
Are you watching it?
Yeah, of course.
What's the time difference?
5 hours, so it'll be in the morning for me. I'm at stag do.
Oh, nice.
So it's going to be a... Oh, I don't know, it's going to be awkward. I don't know how I'm going to watch it, but I will watch it. Of course I'll watch it. Prediction, top three.
Top three, I'm going to go Lando, Oscar, Lewis.
We're in Lando, Max,
ooh,
Oscar.
Ooh. Yeah, like it.
Yeah, no, still not really confident in... you might laugh because Lewis just won at Silverstone, but still not entirely confident of the Mercedes at high speed.
Yeah, no, fair. One thing to quickly touch on before we go, Haas announced this weekend that Kevin Magnussen will be leaving.
Yep.
The likely replacement is going to be Ocon. I'm not overly surprised by it.
Nope, makes sense. Complete sense.
Is this the end of K-Mag in F1?
I think that is probably very likely.
Yeah. Because I was thinking, where else would he go? I can't really see where else he would go. Maybe a Williams seat, someone like that. But I think they've got other drivers who they would want to fill in that. I can't see him coming back into F1.
No. I think his time is done. I think he's had a good career.
Yep.
He's always been a solid driver. You know, we've had some real stinkers come in. I don't believe K-Mag to be one of them.
This season, maybe.
This season, he's had some questionable moments.
Yep.
He's underperformed. It makes it even more difficult when you're up against a teammate that is overperforming.
Yep.
I do believe they're on both ends of the spectrum. I don't just think K-Mag's performing averagely and Hulk is performing brilliantly. I think Hulk is performing poorly and Hulk is also performing brilliantly, but
so Hulk and Hulk. What? You said Hulk is performing poorly and Hulk is performing.
Oh, I meant K-Mag.
Obviously, he listens to this, so I just want to make sure.
You know. Yeah, no, he knows. Yeah, so that is likely the end of him. I just don't see any other team taking him. I mean, Alpine aren't going to go for him, are they?
No. I can't see anyone else going for him.
He's just not done anything to prove that he...
No. There was a really nice piece with Naomi Schiff and Hülkenberg this weekend. Mm. Don't know if you saw it on, I think it was Saturday. Hülkenberg just looks like he's just loving life at the moment. He's come in and he's just absolutely been brilliant. I was sceptical when he came back into sport.
You were.
But fair play. He's taken it... And he's run away with it. He's done brilliantly.
He's done good shit.
Yeah, he's done good shit. So yeah, that is the end of the podcast. So hopefully you've enjoyed it. If you have, drop us a like. That is appreciated.
Drop us a like. I think you have to. Can you do that?
Rate us on Spotify.
Give us a 5-star.
5-star.
Rating.
That's the one. As we know, we'll be in Spa this weekend. I will do a few posts. So check us out on social media, Instagram, TikTok, and yeah, we will be back in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that.
Something like that.
We'll keep you updated. But Luke, have a good holiday.
Yeah, thanks. Enjoy Spa.
And we shall see you soon. Bye-bye.